0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland battle against the conditions to make history in European qualifying. A rain-disrupted 2-0 win over Georgia makes it 4 wins from 4 this campaign for the first time ever. Steve Clark's side now with an 8-point lead at the top of Group A. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Kenny Miller.
It's been an amazing 4 days for the Scottish national team. I was going to say we've got one foot on the plane now to Germany after last night's bit of a shambles set up at Hampden after 6 minutes, but we were in the lead at that moment in time, and I think that's why the Georgia players were so angry and not too happy about going back on. But it was a wonderful night, another wonderful night for Steve Clark and his team, and 12 points out of 12. I mean, we could only have dreamt about that start at the start of this campaign.
Yeah, that table's looking good now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's looking healthy. It's a real healthy lead at the top of that table now, and it's, like I say, I mean we're one foot on the plane. There is still points to be won, but again, we've probably got the best possible game we could have had in the next game, so it's a chance to go 5 out of 5. And again, it might not be mathematically confirmed, but if we can get that win against Cyprus, that will be us. We'll be in the Euros for sure.
Well, surely you've got some thoughts out there on what happened last night, whether it was the result, whether it's how the group is looking ahead of that big tournament next summer, or maybe you want to talk about the conditions and the way the game played out, because it was far from straightforward, wasn't it? 0141 951 1025 is the number, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. But we'd love to hear from you on the phones, 0141 951 1025. Kenny, I finished this show at about 5 to 7 last night. I thought, you know what, I'm rushing to Hampden to get there. Got there, the heavens had opened. I was going through puddles to get to actually get into Hampden. Finally got there, sat in my seat just in time for kickoff. Thought, that's great timing. 6 minutes in, a delay of an hour and a half. It was just a crazy night in general.
It was. I mean, I was stuck in traffic as well, heading along to do a bit of work last night, and it was and the heavens did open. I mean, I think there was something like 6 days rainfall in that short space of time. So it was I was actually concerned that the game might get postponed. I think it would have been played today if that had been the case. But I mean, the reality is the game probably shouldn't have kicked off, because the ball wasn't moving. I mean, you could see in that 6 minutes the amount of incidents. I mean, look at that shot that the Georgian player had, and you think, oh, it's gone wide past. It almost stopped, and it would have gave a player a chance to maybe go and get the tap in. So it was farcical conditions at the start of the game, but common sense prevailed. And like I say, I think everybody, all the officials, would have just been hoping that nobody had scored in that time. And fortunate enough for us, right before they decided to call it, we had got the goal for the corner with Callum McGregor striking into the back of the goal. So it was a great night for us. You know, conditions at the start were farcical. Like I said, it shouldn't have kicked off, but what a work the ground staff and everybody involved done to actually make that pitch playable, because when they got back on, the ball was moving fine. Yeah, the bounce was a little bit different and things, but the ball was rolling fine. It never really affected the game too much, so it was all credit to everybody involved who managed to get the game back on.
Have you played in conditions like that before?
Well, I actually played in we're playing in the game in Spain, but it was cancelled all the years ago. Mm-hmm. I think we're 1-0 up at the time, but it was kind of a bit, no, I mean, to that level. I mean, the downpour was incredible. I could barely see out the windscreen of the car, so it was real proper Scottish rain. I mean, you think we'd be used to it and prepared for it, but I think the amount of rain that had fell over that short space of time, it just made it. You think even the inspection would have happened probably when it was playable, when it was inspected, but the amount of rain that had fell just obviously made the conditions at the start absolutely unplayable. And you could understand, you could see both coaches were on the sidelines. I did have a little chuckle though, because you could see Steve and Willie Samuel were saying, yep, it's got to be called, it's unplayable. As soon as that goal went and everybody in a Scotland badge on their chest wanted the game to continue or at least get back on. So it turned out, everything turned out right for us. We got the win. It was a comfortable win at that as well. Real controlled, good performance, 2-0 win, and let's say 12 out of 12 is stuff of dreams.
Yeah, crazy night at Hampden. We want to hear what you made of it. 0141 951 1025. Ross is up first in Drumchapel. Ross, it was a mad night, as we were saying. What did you take away from it?
Scotland played really well, but my main issue with the game was the Georgia players refusing to come out when it was delayed to restart the game.
Yeah, Kenny,
when they're happy about conditions. You're a professional football player. You should be able to play in like all types of conditions.
Well, Kenny, was it the fact it was the conditions, or was it the fact that they were already 1-0 down after 6 minutes? Because having spoken to John McGinn and Ryan Porteous after the game, the two of them said, look, if the shoe was on the other foot, the Scotland players probably would have been doing the same.
Yeah, listen, I get it. There's no doubt it was the conditions at the start, because you could see the amount of times the ball stops, a player runs past it. And even when the pitch was playable, look what happened with John McGinn when it looked like the goal was gaping for him and he was going to strike it and get another goal. It just slowed down ever so slightly, and he had already committed to the shot and he just got it all wrong, just caught the end of his boot. So it was still affecting it a little bit in certain areas of the pitch. But when the game kicked, I mean, the game should never have kicked off. That's it. And I think the biggest, after that, once the goal had went in, there's no doubt the Georgians are thinking, right, you know what? This is a shambles. But I think that the rule in it would have started today at 1-0 anyway. So it was, you can feel for them in that respect, because I'm sure had the boot been on the other foot, we would have been absolutely gutted, and there would have been a lot of calls to say, look, that game shouldn't have even kicked off. It should have maybe been delayed initially to try and then clear the water, and then just started when it was properly playable. So it was, you can understand their frustrations. But once that game kicked back off, and by the thing has to be said, for that first 6 minutes, it was the same for both teams, you know, so there was no advantage or disadvantage to anybody. It was the same for both teams. We were just fortunate enough, we took advantage of it in that first 6 minutes and then won the game convincingly once it restarted.
Yeah, Ross, what does it say about the character of this Scotland side that they didn't let it affect them whatsoever? They were straight back on the pitch, they were wanting to play, and then, you know, straight after half time, the second goal comes. That's off the back of, you know, those two late goals against Norway. A lot of character shown by this squad over the course of a few days.
Shows that we're willing to choose to other teams that were actually capable of getting to a major tournament. Actually willing to try and get to a major tournament, and we're no an easy team, because I think over the last couple of years we've been known as an easy team to kind of beat, and I think Steve Clark got us to that certain level where we're no as quite as easy a team to beat. We're actually quite feared.
Do you get that feeling now, Kenny, that teams will be coming up against Scotland and, you know, concerned about coming up against us? Because you look at the Spain result, you look at the Norway result and the fashion that that came about, the character shown last night as well.
I think you can throw the Denmark result into that as well. About a year ago or so, it was a wonderful performance that night against a really, really good team. Like, we have, listen, again, there's no disrespect teams of the past, because there's been some wonderful results. I mean, you're talking France, you're talking Holland back in the day, you're talking Ukraine's have came and been well beat, Italy came, and, you know, we've always been kind of, particularly at home, we've always been capable of challenging and competing. But this group at the moment, there is a real belief about them, you know, and everybody's talking about this spirit that's amongst them. And spirit can be created in a number of ways. One thing that helps it along is winning and being successful. And this team's got that monkey off the back by qualifying for the Euros a couple of years ago. And now they're hungry for more, you know. And you talk about character, and for me, last summer was really, really disappointing with the World Cup playoff. And then that result against Ireland, which was a really, really poor performance. But they never let it affect them. They've just bounced back, and I think they're actually undefeated since that game. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful run, and it's credit to Steve and his staff. But again, the players have to, the ones when they cross that white line, they need to go and perform. And I think our level, our player across the squad is really, really good. There's real competition for places. You see Steve against Spain, I think after the Cyprus win, he makes a couple of changes. We go and get an equal performance, if not better, and we get the result against a really good Spanish team. Last night, again, there was a change made to the team that won in Norway. Again, a change which I felt was probably the right change. I mean, Billy Gilmore came in, and you've seen even at the end of the Norway game the effect that he had on the team. He always takes the ball, he's always kind of trying to direct the traffic, and it's just a real calm and composed influence in the middle of the pitch there. And you've seen a wonderful performance for him last night. Again, he's not too much football this year, but when he's picked in this national team, he just never ever lets anybody, and more often than not actually ends up getting man of the match or player of the match. He was outstanding. Along, to be honest, our midfielders were outstanding last. Callum McGregor, superb. Scott Tommy, they both got the goals, but apart from the goals, their performances were outstanding.
Well, thank you to Ross. Let's hear a bit from Steve Clark. He says last night's game should have been stopped before the opening goal due to the waterlogged pitch.
It was pretty obvious from kickoff that the pitch wasn't ready. That would have been the logical time to call it, or maybe not even start it and just delay the kickoff. Obviously, the whole dynamic changes once there's a goal in the game. They want it stopped. We don't. It's normal. if they had scored, they wouldn't have wanted the game stopped. Thankfully, it dried up. Everybody did their job. For me, the best part is our players did their job.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the players didn't let it affect them whatsoever. They were straight out there. And it must have been quite distracting as well, because they had to go out and warm up. Then they were pulled back into the changing room. They were out warming up again. They were waiting for the Georgia players. It can't have been easy mentally for the Scotland players.
No, but I think that they're in such a good place. We've touched on it before. Like, the spirit within the camp has been generated by success, but it's also by, they seem a real tight-knit group of boys. And, you know, there's, I think that gets to, that gets shown then even more so by the, it's the nature of the behaviours of the squad players, the guys that are no playing. You see them all jumping about on Saturday when that these goals go on and celebrating. I mean, they're no, oh, well, I never played, I don't really feel part of it. Everybody seems to feel part of it. Everybody wants to come away and represent the national team, whether they're playing or whether they're not playing. So there's a real spirit amongst it. So again, it doesn't surprise me that the Scotland team approached it the way they did. Yeah, they were 1-0 up as well. They just got that goal just before they called it. But again, which that helps, because now they've got something to hold on to. And they knew how big last night's result was going to be to go 12 out of 12, because that's a game, when you start to this group, when you're looking at it, forget what's already went on. Georgia at home is a must win. You know, and even last night, as much as we've had a wonderful start, it was still a must win for me, because you just didn't want to stop that momentum. But we've went the other way. We've just kept building on the momentum, and we're riding this real wave at the moment. And it went through last night, and the character of the players, but again, Andy Robertson as well, sometimes gets some criticism playing in the national, might not have the same type of form, but I felt over these two games he was excellent. You know, he was driving the team on, because it wasn't a great performance on Saturday, but he was driving that team on, and it was the same last night.
01419511025 if you want to get involved. Robbie is up next in Falkirk. Robbie, how much did you enjoy that last night?
Good evening, panel. Yeah, I thought Scotland played well, considering that Georgia came into the game. I think they were unbeaten in their last 15.
Was it one defeat in 15?
Yeah, and Scotland restricted them, and, you know, they were the better team from start to finish. Basically, they looked more cohesive and, you know, fighting for the ball and making chances, and they just looked better across the board, and that's an improvement. Obviously, the result is what you really want, but Steve Clarke clearly wanted an improvement for that Norway game. I'd just like to make the point to Kenny that what really impresses me about this, the full squad, I don't know about you, Kenny, but I think the age bracket these players are in is absolutely, it's a fantastic mix. You've got Callum McGregor at 30. I think he's one of the oldest in the squad. But if you look at guys like Lewis Ferguson, who didn't even get on as a sub in either of the last two games. You've got Billy Gilmore, Scott McTominay in mid-20s. So I quite like how this team is going to progress, Kenny, over the next couple of years. Obviously, Callum McGregor, when it gets beyond a couple of years, he'll be getting to that 34, 35, and probably he might even retire for the national squad within the next 2 or 3 years. But I think the important thing is that, but guys like Billy Gilmore and McTominay will be coming up to his late 20s. Billy Gilmore will be like 24, 25 in the next 2 or 3 years. And I just like that, you know, that we need to get players coming into the back of them as well, Kenny. That's important. You know what I'm talking about, Kenny. Over the next 4 or 5 years, that when Carl McGregor, John McGinn and all these boys potentially stop playing, that we get guys in at the back of Billy Gilmore, Lewis Ferguson, Scott McTominay and all the other guys that are going to be mid to late 20s at the time. You know, it's like a conveyor belt, Kenny. Do you see what I'm saying?
Listen, I get you, Robbie. I mean, you're bang on. They're at a good age. And the one thing about the group is as well, they have kind of came through together over Steve Clarke's tenure as a manager. And you see the amount of guys that they're just accumulating cap after cap after cap and gaining more experience at this level. So there's going to be a situation in a couple of years where there's not actually much situation international football's not thrown at this group of players. So they're going to know how to deal with certain situations. Again, like you say, all everything going well in the next kind of few games, we're going to have been to our second Euros in 3-4 years. So this group's going to have been to two major finals. They're going to have you've already got maybe 5 or 6 of them are over the 50 caps. By this point, you're going to have other guys approaching it. It's a lot of caps they've got now. And when you first started out with Steve Clarke, when you're looking at the McGinns and the Robertsons and the Tierneys and these types of guys, they were all kind of just starting out. They might have been kind of low teens or whatever. Now they're upwards of 50 caps. There's a real experience about them, and I still think they're at a good age. I mean, I think Callum McGregor can go and play for as long as he wants. I mean, he's 30 at the moment. If we get another 4 or 5 years out of him, listen, he'll not want to give that jersey up, to be honest with you, because it looks like he loves it. And I think after this Euros and they've had that taste for it, the next step's the World Cup. You know, again, I'm getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves here, but because they failed in that game against Ukraine, and I still sense that there's maybe that this group will have something, that they'll have a sense that they want to put that right come this next campaign. But they're well on track to this Euros, which is a wonderful achievement where we're sitting at the moment. But the group of players, in terms of the levels, their standards are really, really good. But they are, you're right, Robbie, they're at a wonderful age, and they've all kind of came through and gained this experience together. I think that all adds in and feeds into the spirit that they've got.
Yeah, Robbie, 4 wins from 4. How do you rate the chances of Steve Clark's side getting to Germany next summer?
Well, I think they can do it, but I mean, they've won 4 games out of 4. Why not go for 4 out of 4 out of 4 again? That's what I mean, they've really, really got to think that way. See, the next game, Steve Clark is, I think, is really, really good at keeping them grounded. And just didn't look at the table, just we know where we are. We've got 4 wins out of 4. The next game we'll try to win. The next game we'll try. Doesn't matter if it's Spain away from him. Try to win that game as well. Didn't go in with this attitude that, all right, we've tallied up 15 or 16 points for core. Just go right through them. They might. I mean, I'm saying 4 wins out of 4 for the next 4 games. That's highly unlikely. Just with the psychological, we already winning the first 4 games and maybe qualified. They could qualify over the next 2 games. So what would that bring them up to? 12 and 18 points. So they'll probably maybe qualify. So maybe, what's probably realistic is actually winning every single game up to the qualify. So if they win the next 2 games, they might qualify, and they might have maybe drop away after that over the 2 games that fall. But maybe already qualified, maybe top of the group then. But I really, really like the mix of performances. You know what I'm talking about here, Kenny. That Norway game is better to win a game when you're playing rubbish than lose a game and play rubbish. You know, that last 5 minutes here was absolutely brilliant. And that Kenny McLean's goal, that was world class. That was absolutely brilliant. If that was Barcelona or Man City, it would be getting talked about tenfold more. But, I mean, what a goal. Brilliant goal, that. You know, especially after the way they were playing for most of that game, Kenny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, it was a wonderful end to the game for us. And it's... I agree with Robbie in terms of the mentality. You have to go and win. Listen, Steve Clark's instilling that in his team. He's not going to take his foot off the gas. He knows the team's progressing, and there's more progress. Like, there's more progress in it. I think there's still more to come for this group of players. Like, and I think that when it might have learned a wee lesson for that game at Norway, because it did look to me they kind of approached it in a way that it was a case of, you know what, see if we don't get beat, this is a wonderful point that we could be taking away for it. I believe that group of players are better than that. Particularly against that, and with no disrespect to Norway, I think we're a better team. You know, I think we've got better players. Yeah, they've got a couple of superstars within the team, but so have we. We just don't kind of label our players, like, give them that kind of status. But when you've got guys that are representing Liverpool and winning Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues, and you've got guys who are playing for Man United and Arsenals, and again, Rangers and Celtic, you know, they're playing in European games. This is what I'm saying about these players. They're not only gaining international experience, they're getting Champions League, European experience, and playing in the big Premier League.
I mean, Robbie's talking there about aiming for another 4 wins out of 4. Scotland have already proven they can beat all 4 of these sides. Yes, there will be some tough games. Spain away is the one you would look at. But that's what these Scotland players will be aiming for, isn't it? Because they've gone out there, they've got the confidence, they know they can beat these teams across 90 minutes. But why wouldn't they go for it? Why wouldn't they aim for that?
Well, when you're playing against the best players in the world, which some of those Spanish players are, you know, you look at Rodri, who has had a right good moan up after the last game. You look what he's just achieved this season for club and country. So when you're playing against these best players, you want to perform, you want to go and show. Again, when I look at that midfield in particular, against guys like that, when you've got Billy Gilmore's, you've got Callum McGregor's, you've got McTominay's, you've got Kenny McLean's, you've got guys like Stuart Armstrong, couldn't get on. Ryan Jack only got a kind of wee appearance. And Lewis Ferguson, who's moved away, can't even get on as well. They were really, really strong. So these guys going up against the best players in the world, they want to test themselves. They actually want to show, I'm capable of going up against you. I fancy this, and I want to show how good a player I am. They've done it. They've done it against Spain. They beat them convincingly. So it's an opportunity. You know, 4-4, listen, I would take us beating Cyprus next, and I think that would be no guarantee us, but that'll pretty much get us there.
Well, thank you to Robbie. Still plenty of time to get involved. Maybe you want to chat to us about how the rain sort of affected your viewing experience of the game last night. We'd love to hear your stories. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want to hear your thoughts on that Scotland result last night. It was a mad game, wasn't it? That huge, it was about 90, 100 minutes delay in the middle of it after 6 minutes because of the waterlogged pitch, but plenty to talk about. 0141 951 1025 to get involved. And Kenny, I think we need to have a shout out for, you know, the maintenance staff, the ground staff, the ball boys that got involved, the security staff that got involved to help brush the water off the pitch, because that was some shift, wasn't it?
It was incredible. You know, I mean, I did get a wee bit wondering why they still weren't on between that 9:30 spell, because there was nobody on the pitch kind of keeping on, but they put in an incredible effort. I mean, you've seen, we were watching them, and the guys that were in the box that we scored the goal into, there was guys that were on that solid foot, and they were still shifting some amount of water off it. So they did an incredible job just to get playable. Like you say, even the young lads that came on with the brushes, and they were using the reverse side of the brushes just to try and get some kind of water off the pitch and get the game on. So yep, all credit to them. They've done a wonderful job. And listen, had it not been for them, the game wouldn't have been on, you know. So it's it was good work, and I'm sure you've seen the players how much they actually appreciated the job. Steve Clark's mentioned it. You've seen the players giving the fans around the applause, not only the ground staff but the fans also, for staying that length of time. And my wee boy was actually at the game. He went there with his BBs absolutely soaked, and he was, needless to say, he never went to school today because he was still sleeping. But it was an incredible night for everybody. The fans were great, obviously the staff and everybody, to get the game back on was sensational work.
There was just one moment as well that really worried me, when you were wondering whether the game was going to continue or not, and I was watching the referee doing the test at one point, and he just went to bounce the ball in the 6 yard box and it just stopped dead. And at that point I thought there's no chance, but that just goes to show the great work that was done.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching him as well, and what I would say is he never put too much effort in trying to bounce the ball. He was more like dropping it. He wasn't actually bouncing it, and at one point he never even had a ball. I was actually wondering if he was going to get a ball out to actually give it a test. But again, you could see once they went back out to test it and they were rolling the ball across the surface, the ball was moving quickly. You know, it never really affected it that much once the work had been done. Yes, the bounce wasn't what it would be had it been absolutely perfect playing surface, but listen, it's football. We've seen football played in a lot worse conditions. I've actually seen games played in the conditions that were actually the first 6 minutes, but the game shouldn't have kicked off. There's no getting away from that. Steve was right. They probably should have just delayed it and gave the staff a chance to kind of clear it before they kicked off. But listen, it went that way. Now, as a Scotland fan now, we don't really care how it went now. We got the results, 12 points out of 12, and now we move on to Cyprus.
I don't know if you saw at one point as well, when the referee was running from one side of the pitch to the other, the Scotland players were out there waiting for the Georgia players, and the Scotland players were actually just firing passes into the referee's feet to show him, look, the pitch is fine, let's play on.
I don't know if they're doing that or just try to trip him up with or meg him. I'm not sure, but you know, you could see it. Everybody, I was watching Liam Kelly as well. He was in and he was bouncing the ball. He was putting everything into it to bounce the ball, running about the penalty spot on that goal move to show that the ball was actually acting as if it was as if the pitch was fine. But no, it was, listen, again, it was done. They got back on, the pitch was perfectly playable once it got restarted, and we won the game convincingly. You know, the Georgia players might not have fancied it. They might not have thought it was right about how the first 6 minutes went, and they were 1-0 down. But listen, it's football, you've got to just move on.
0141 951 1025, if you want to get in touch. Sean is up next in the Gorble. Sean, how are you?
Good evening, panel, how are you doing?
Good, Sean.
Just for last night, for myself, I just need to reiterate what Kerry had said. It should never have been played, but as we all know, it went on and we won, etc. Pardon the pundit about the weather, I seem to think that we're taking away how well Steve Clark has actually done, the pool of players he's got for what we used to have. The guy, no wonder he got another contract. And I believe that is meant to come. Apart from nearly a waterlogged football park last night, and how long it got delayed, and fair play to the maintenance staff. I seen that myself, and the game went on as best it could. But I think we're forgetting is the actual team, the pool itself. Again, to reiterate about the spirit, it's shining through the back, right through to the front, that even if the boss seems to be going out, everybody seems to, 90 minutes, everybody wants to be playing for their country.
Yeah, Kenny, I mean, I think we're quite good in this country at playing things down, but we do have a lot of quality players in that Scotland squad, and Steve Clark, the system he's using, he's getting the best out of nearly every single player in the squad that he's selecting at the moment.
He is, and that's when you talk about spirit and coaching and management, like sometimes the players that are not playing are more important, you know, because they can feed into the culture and create the environment and keep that harmony within the group. And Steve's got that. You know, again, I'll say it again, winning helps. Bringing success and qualifying for major tournaments helps. But he's done a wonderful job. There's nothing, that's why he's been rewarded with the new contract, because the job that he's done, like I said, he's got us to that finals a few years ago, and we're on the verge of making another Euro. So he's done a wonderful job. He has got a really good pool of players. I mean, you've always got these debates about eras and who was better. Was that team better? What I would say about this group is, I think the general standard of player and where they're playing their football at is probably maybe at the best it's been. There's a lot of players playing in England Premier League. There's guys that are, like I said, they're playing in European games, big European games. There's guys that are playing in big games that are challenging for league titles, challenging for cups. And again, that league is one of the best, if not the best in the world. So you're up against the best players week in, week out. So it can only bring you on and develop you as a player. And that's what I would say about the squad. Yes, we've had some wonderful players in the past, and there's no doubt guys from the past would get into this team had they been playing now. But as a general standard across, and I think we're in a really, really good place. Good competition all over the field as well. I mean, I think Steve's got his system, but the part of management is finding a system that suits the players that you've got at your disposal. And that's what he's done really well. And even when we flip to a back four as well, which I think we can, might be dependent on whether Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson are both fit at the time. But it's we've got a wonderful spirit at the moment. I think it's a belief. You know, we believe, you see it in Norway, we never played well, but they believe, they kept going to the end, they stuck to the game plan, never panicked. And we got the result as well.
Sean, you say there's more to come from this Scotland team. Are you seeing improvements every time this squad meets up, and you feel they're just getting better and better with every game?
Again, that's why Kenny played for Scotland. It's one of the ones that, totally what he's saying, it's the club level that each and every one of them are at, and they seem to be bringing that to Scotland, isn't it? Collectively, they're bringing their own experience. So it doesn't matter if we're playing like the likes of Spain or any bigger teams that we might have felt intimidated. It's like, seems to be like, no rub shoulders with anybody now. And that's not to go and forgetting ourselves and getting all this bravado, and because where we are at the moment, I know very much we need to, I love this, we need to keep the feet well and truly on the ground. Glaswegian mind, but in the sense of the whole, Scotland's never been in a better place, I don't feel, and that is just simply through what Kenny's saying, is in the levels of where these guys are individually at club level.
I mean, Kenny, Sean's saying there about keeping grounded. If there's one man that is going to make sure that the players all stay grounded, it is Steve Clark. He said himself in a press conference, I think before the game, he was like, look, I'll make sure the players don't get too excited about anything. But is that part of the beauty of why this team are doing so well? Because they're keeping grounded, they don't fear anyone, but they're never getting ahead of themselves, no matter who they beat and no matter who they overcome.
It seems that way. Again, I think they're a real good group of lads, you know, and there is. They seem to enjoy each other's company as well. When I speak to a few of the players, like, there's always things going on. And again, that's part of management. I know they had their wee trip to Spain, and there's maybe golf and things are going on. It's all part of that team building, a team building that's already really, really strong. But listen, Steve's got on the right path now. He's been in the job a right few years now. He's really familiar with the group. They're really familiar with him. They know how they're working. They know when they turn up, what to expect. So it's, again, this is when you feed that even back into club football, having that kind of stability and continuity, it doesn't guarantee you success, but what it does, it gives you the best chance to build something. And that's what we've been doing over these last 3 or 4 years, is building towards these types of performances where, when we play Spain, and if it's England or whoever else we're playing against, that we know if we turn up and do our job, we're going to be competitive and we're going to give our chance the best chance to get a result.
Well, thank you to Sean. Let's stick with the phones. Craig is in Cumbernauld up next. Craig, how are you feeling after that result last night?
How are we doing, lads? Aye. Listen, it's another fantastic night at the office for us. It really is. You know, to have put together 4 wins for 4 in this run is exceptional, especially considering that, you know, away at Norway is always tough. And then, you know, to have Spain at home, that was a real you know, giant killing there for us. And I think it's important to get scalps like that because you want to be able to show that you're capable of competing at higher levels. And I thought, listen, Georgia aren't mugs. They took a point off of Norway as well. And I just thought it was a very good performance on the backdrop of what was going on as well, because I've got to say, and need to add this in, I was really, really disappointed with the behaviour of the Georgians at one point last night, because we'd already had a long delay and kickoff was meant to start at 9:15. Scotland were out, ready to go, and they refused to come out of the dressing room, which delayed it by a further 20 minutes. To me, and I don't know, I'm not a professional player, but Kenny, you have, and I don't know if you've been in that situation, but if the officials tell you as a player that the pitch is fine, the match is going to go ahead, how can you just point blank refuse to come out to change them? Because they must have been at a point where, apparently the UEFA delegates were talking to them, but surely they were saying, if you don't go out, then you're forfeiting the game, because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, before I bring Kenny in on that, let's get the thoughts of Georgia boss Willie Sanyol, and he'll give their side of the story.
I think everybody tried to do his best. I just don't understand why we did even start the match at the beginning, because after 5 seconds, everybody could see it wasn't possible to play. And I think the fact that the referee just stopped the match just after the first goal, he made himself under so much pressure. Everybody had enough of the situation. The players were cold. They were not feeling good. Everybody enough of waiting and being, as I said, We did feel a bit considerate as some objects. Shut up and do what I tell you to do, basically. We are professional managers. We are professional football players. That's why it's a lack of... Maybe some people should respect football a bit more. It will make things a bit easier.
Can you see that point of view, Kenny?
From Willie's point of view, then, I can understand. You know what it is? It's the goal, the timing of the goal, the state of the pitch. Again, Steve said it, Willie said the game shouldn't have kicked off. I think we could all agree on that, and everybody will have that point of view. That's where you kind of wonder why it actually did kick off. That's where the concerns would be for me. In terms of the disrespect or being told what to do, well, that's their job, you know. Like, they've got to decide, is the pitch playable? They decide, by the way, not the players. And there was even things, the referee will speak to the captains. What a lot of nonsense. Georgia captain was going to say game's off, Andy Robertson was going to say game's on. It's the way it was going to be. That's their job, to decide if the pitch is safe and playable, that the game can continue. And they decided that. So I'm with Craig in a way where, when they've been told the game's kicking off at 9:15, they should have been on that pitch at 9:15. Like, they're in the wrong in that respect. If they felt they were treated, and again, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. We could just see, well, the game is supposed to kick off and they've point blank refused to come out. Well, they can't do that, you know, because they decide if the game's playable or not, the referees, and they decide it was playable at 9:15, it was supposed to kick off. They decided not to. So it wasn't great behaviours. What went on behind the scenes, we can't actually comment on, but I can understand the frustrations, because that first 6 minutes was an absolute shambles, and they fell 1-0 down in a big game. You know, it was a massive, massive game of football for them as well. It was a chance for them to come in and take something and keep themselves in the group as well. So I can understand the frustrations, but Craig, right, the behaviours weren't great.
Craig, on the opposite side of it, the Scotland players who were out there warming up, keen to get the game going, at one point, I think, you know, there was boos from the supporters when they were told there was going to be another delay, and the players were out there applauding the fans, thanking them for, you know, sticking with them. It shows a real good attitude from the Scotland squad.
Oh, absolutely. I think the attitude of the squad is spot on, and it's been that way for a while now. There's a real professionalism about them, and I think that connection's back there again between them and the fans as well, so there's the appreciation there. Because if that was, you know, say the Craig Gordon era, when things weren't going well, the fans wouldn't have stuck around anyway, because they'd have thought, we're probably going to get beat here, so there's no point. But the fact is, we've got that belief back in the team. I also think, when I'm watching this play now, compared to a couple of years ago when we did qualify, I actually think we look like a team that's much more ready to go into a tournament now than we did before. You know, it was fantastic to get in before. We're maybe slightly undercooked for it, though. Now, I really think we've got that bit between our teeth, and we look like a team that can go and compete, at least in the tournament. You know, maybe win a game or try and get out of a group, which is easier to do in the Euros, to be fair, than it is in the World Cup. So, you know, I'm excited by it, because I think if we beat Cyprus, which we should, 15 should be enough to get us over the line, I would have thought.
Well, thank you to Craig. If you give us a call, you could be up next. 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, and lots of talk about that game at Hampden last night. So much to talk about: the result, the weather, the conditions, everything like that. A huge delay, but Scotland getting the job done in the end as well. Let's hear from John McGinn and his thoughts on how it all unfolded last night.
It feels a bit subdued. It's a huge win for us. We're obviously delighted in there. Really, really strange night. Something none of us have ever experienced. But we dealt with it in the best way possible. And credit to all the ground staff, everyone who kind of got together. Saw the ball boys even helping at one point. So it was really important we got the game played. And thankfully for all of us, we did. Now, the message was concentrate, but I wasn't doing very much concentrating. I didn't know what was going on. 1 minute it was just 10 minutes kicking off, then it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It wasn't fair on the fans. I think the game could have been played a little bit earlier, but Georgia were up to it. They were at it, they were wanting the game stopped, which we would probably do in the same situation. So it was difficult, probably difficult for the referee, but I think common sense prevailed in the end and we got the game played, but it certainly could have been played earlier.
Yeah, lots of good performances last night. John McGinn is often the one that steals the headlines for Scotland, but Scott McTominay getting a goal last night, that's now five goals he's got in four qualifiers. It's quite a return, isn't it?
It is. It's been incredible. I mean, I was interested the way he was kind of deployed last night. I mean, they had changed the... I wouldn't really say they changed the system too much, but when there was more of a midfield three recognised with Billy Gilmore at the base of that, with McTominay to the right and Callum McGregor on the left, it with John McGinn more in a supporting striker role to Lyndon Dykes. But what there was at times, it allowed Callum McGregor and McTominay to take more to do with the game higher up, which I think, particularly McGregor, can be really, really creative. But you see the goal threat that McTominay is. I mean, his timing of the runs to support the strikers to hit the box is really, really good, as we've seen Cyprus, Spain and last night. It's it was great, and it was a wonderful finish for him as well. His touch, and literally in the next step he's hit it with his weaker foot in those conditions as well, when he was so accurate to guide it into that bottom corner. It was he's really found his feet over the last kind of few months in a Scotland jersey. And like I say, the balance of that midfield for me looked really, really good last night. Everybody can play. You've got the left side, you've got the right side, you've got Billy Gilmore kind of pulling the strings in the middle. And like I say, I thought him coming into the team, and that's take nothing away from your Ryan Christies and your Stuart Armstrongs, who've been played in that kind of similar position to John McGinn just off Lyndon Dykes in the past, because that works for us as well. But when you've got someone, if you want to progress and you want to take more to do with the ball, which I felt we needed to do after the game against Norway, Billy actually affected the game on Saturday. And when he came in last night, you could see him always demanding the ball, always on the move, always wanting, always knows where the next pass is going as well, with his awareness, makes the right decision 99 times out of 100. And I think him and Callum McGregor really, really suit each other really, really well with how they want to play the game. So it was a wonderful performance. And Scott McTominay, again, with that five goals in four games, is just, it's a sensational rate.
Because Steve Clark, he likes consistency in selection, whether it's his starting lineup or his squad, but even the small tweaks he's made from game to game, they've all been working. The substitutions that he's made, they've all been working as well. Everything he's touching at the moment seems to turn to gold in these qualifiers.
It is, and it's I think he could do anything, to be honest with you. And what I mean by that is that, say he's putting Stuart Armstrong or Ryan Christie, like, everybody wants to be on there. There's nobody really sulking that they're not playing, so they want to go on and they're bringing real energy to the game. Like, the subs that are coming on are impacting the game. Think back to even the Cyprus game. As much as it wasn't a great game and it was quite low key, and Lyndon Dykes came on and really made a difference. Scott McTominay comes on and gets his goal. They then start the next game and they were wonderful within it, and they've maintained their place over these two games as well, and really, really impacted the game as well. But the subs who have came on, Billy Gilmore makes an impact on the game Saturday. He starts the game, you know, so there's just a real strength within the squad at the moment. Again, I'm going to say it feeds in and it helps that when you're winning games and you're having success. So long may it continue.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Andy is in Finiston. Andy, how are you?
Good morning, guys. A great result last night. You've got to say, first of all, I thought the fans were brilliant and the ground staff were amazing. I know you've said it before, but I just thought the fans last night, Tartan Army, were absolutely amazing. What the support they were giving Scotland, that hadn't they waited all that length of time.
Yeah, I'll put that to Kenny because it was such a long delay and I was in the stadium for it, and it could have been easy for supporters to turn around and go, look, it's getting late, we need to get home, whether it's trains or people have work or school in the morning. But the supporters, they stuck by. You could hear that Why Does It Always Rain On Me by Travis was playing over the tannoy system, and the whole crowd were singing along. But it's all part of that feel-good factor that is around the national team at the moment that will help in a moment like that.
Of course it does, because they want to stay. They feel part of something at the moment. They feel part of something special. Like you say, not just the delay. It's probably like a lot of them have been soaked through with the amount of rain that had fell. But you know, it never put a dampener on them. They were still there supporting. They were still there singing. Again, you could see the players were absolutely appreciative of that. Again, the support for fans, whether it be club or country, is never ever taken for granted by players. It isn't. But again, last night there was a real show of how much they appreciate that support by the players. But yep, every credit. This, I say, we've said it already. The players were excellent. Steve Clark and his staff were excellent in putting the team together and getting the result. But all the ground staff that played their part in getting that game back on, the fans for staying and supporting. Because there's one thing for sure: when games take a little lull, fans can really impact and bring an energy from the stands, and that can then be put on the players on that field to play. Had there been nobody there or lesser fans there, it might have impacted the performance. So, like, they've always got a role to play. The fans, like I said, it's never taken for granted.
Yeah, when the game eventually continued, Andy, what did you make of Scotland's performance on the pitch?
I thought it was brilliant, and I thought McTominay was actually man of the match, but I thought he was so unlucky. The keeper, I mean, I don't know if you remember the save the keeper done after him, that was a world-class save he done. Doing his left-hand side, just putting the ball behind the post. But the whole team are gelling together, as everybody's been saying. The more games we're playing now, they're definitely getting better. We can bring on subs. They're fitting in, you know. We look really comfortable just now.
Yeah, and defensively it was a good job as well, Kenny, because there was a lot of talk in the build-up about Kvicha Kvaratskhelia and the quality he has. Maybe not the best conditions for the type of player he is, but he was kept very quiet throughout the game.
It was, and what I would say on that is I think he was one of the players' body language kind of behaviours that probably did not want to be going back on that pitch. But world-class player. He's had a wonderful season at Napoli. And we kept him quiet. The conditions probably helped us in that respect. But I felt even in the situation, he still showed moments of absolute magic with how quick his feet and how he changes direction and goes and puts defenders on the back foot. But we dealt with it and marshalled it pretty well. I felt it was quite a comfortable performance over the piece. There were a few scares towards the end, obviously the penalty, but it was probably a bit too late to salvage anything. But the chance with the lad pulled it, had an open goal effectively, pulled it wide, it kind of just shook us back into gear a little bit. But we had so many chances. Like Andy says, that was a world-class save for Scott McTominay at the end of the first half. And you could see that at the end of the first half, we were piling on a lot of pressure and looking for that second goal there. But like I said, it was a convincing win and we deserved that.
I mean, it's probably easy for some people to underestimate Georgia, but for a team, as we said earlier, one defeat in 15, they were on a fantastic run of form, and for Scotland to be that dominant in those conditions, it just shows where the national side are at the moment.
Yeah, again, let's talk about us. We're a really, really good team. You know, we've got a strong squad. We've got some wonderful footballers in there. I think it was it Robbie or Sean that said earlier on the show that if he believes there's more in the team. I certainly believe there's more to come for these group of players, because they're getting better, they're getting more experience. There's some young players that are coming into a wonderful stage of their career, playing at great levels. Like I say, long may it continue. Wonderful opportunity now, go and make sure we're in Germany over the next couple of games.
Well, thank you to Andy. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for tonight, but what a night it was at Hampden yesterday, and I'm sure that the chat about that will continue for plenty of time to come. Of course, a lot of domestic stuff happening. Kevin Van Veen has left Motherwell. I'm sure we'll get round to that as well. But of course, all about Scotland. But thank you to Andy, as I say. Thank you to Kenny in the studio. Thank you for listening in, for your calls and your tweets tonight as well. We are back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. A night off for me, but Ewan Cameron will be taking care of things. He'll be in the studio with Gordon DL. But stay right there, because it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.